Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're just an actor, owner, or plain old aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back. This is episode 37.
Yes.
And it's really tragic we did not start this podcast 1 week later, isn't it?
Well, we had talked about it.
Yes, we should have done it. And the reason is because I turned 36 on the 13th, on Saturday the 13th. And it's like, ugh.
Right.
Opportunity missed, man. Yeah. But yes, but nonetheless, we are still celebrating my festive birthday. We are sitting here in our lair drinking from our WordCamp NOLA pint glasses.
Right. Conference also held on the 13th, which you spoke at.
Yes, I spoke at it, giving a talk on copyright and plagiarism issues around blogging. And it was a great conference, a great time. Was had by all. Many laughs and chortles were had.
Yes.
And pint glasses were among the swag. Don't you love New Orleans?
Oh, yes. We do love New Orleans.
You know, it was interesting. I saw the pint glasses and I'm like, well, we're having some of those.
Yes. And then they said, you can take more.
And then I took more and everyone looked at me like, don't take more. We already have 80 million pint glasses.
Yes.
The pint glasses are like rabbits in the cabinet in this house. They're just breeding in the background. It's horrible.
Yeah, we're going to soon start having to cull some of it.
The Abita and the Fat Tire ones are currently making some very weird babies. That's where we get the shot glasses from.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense.
But anyways, it is indeed episode 37, and we're doing a very special episode. Every episode's a special episode.
Yeah.
But this one is Sunday afternoon special. What the hell would that be?
I don't know.
Holy God, Jonathan. A Saturday morning special type thing, where we're talking about the most unsafe haunts we've been to.
Yes.
We have
a PSA, if you will.
A PSA type thing. Yes, we have been very fortunate. We've, attended many haunts.
Yes.
We've worked in several haunts.
Yes.
And we're parlaying some of our nightmarish experiences in this podcast. And we're not going to name anyone by name.
No.
We don't. Some of these haunts are still in business, and they're doing better with these things now. And we definitely don't want to hurt their business, you know, like moving forward for past mistakes.
Right. Especially since we didn't actually go to these haunts last year. And one of them we haven't been to in a few years, so they could have resolved their issues.
And one of them, I think, is shuttered forever. That's kind of a thank you Jesus moment in this case.
Yeah.
But regardless, we will, and honestly, that one, I don't remember the name. I don't think anyone does. But anyways, so we're going to be doing that. But first thing is first, as is usual, when we do not have a special guest that we are afraid of boring to tears, we have conference reminders.
Yeah.
Where to get your conference. Maybe pick up your own pint glass swag. Come on, haunt conferences.
I don't know of any being held here, so that's probably a little less likely.
You know, we do have one coming to New Orleans.
We do, that's right. Next year.
Next year, January. It's on our list. Now, would you do the honors and kick us off?
Kick.
Oh!
All right. August 27th and 28th, we have Halloween and Haunt Fest. Arlington Convention Center in Arlington, Texas. HalloweenandHaunt.com for more information. Thanks again to Brian.
At Haunt Topic, once again, two T's.
Yep.
For the heads up and letting us know. And please, if we do not have a conference on this list, we search, we look, we do our best. We are human beings. Let us know at Haunt Weekly on Twitter or Haunt Weekly on Facebook. We might have a Haunt Weekly thing going on.
We maybe.
It may be a thing.
Maybe.
All right, well, if you're not feeling Halloween and Haunt Fest, maybe September 9th through 11th, if you Marriott, Indianapolis East, go to Mask Fest at maskfest.com, the latest and greatest of mask and makeup type stuff. As Crystal is so apt to warn everyone, and I'm also apt to as well, don't get sick.
Yeah.
That's right before season. Don't get sick, dude.
Yeah.
Don't get like the super flu or something. And
yeah. That would suck. So,
you know, I've heard stories of that happening, and that's like one of my mortal fears, is like being hopelessly sick on Halloween, like bedridden. That would be terrible.
It would be. I've gotten close to that a couple of times.
Yes. Well, that's your allergy season to top things off.
I know. Okay. So then after Halloween's over.
Now you can get sick. It's okay. Yes. It's okay to get sick now.
November 11th to 12th, we have Legendary Haunt Tour. It's in Pittsburgh. It's put on by the Wonderful World at Transworld. And
they'll be visiting.
They are still going to be announcing the hotel at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm double check that. It was as of last week.
Yeah.
It was still Hotel TBA. I'm literally looking it up right now, but continue.
Visiting Scare House and 100 Acres Manor. You can ask them about their project they did overseas.
Sorry about that. Auto-playing video. Yes, the hotel is still TBA, by the way.
Okay, the site is legendaryhaunttour.com, and that's where Jonathan went to look for the hotel, so be aware that there is a video that plays whenever you open it.
Yeah, and the thing is, I always have the volume on my Mac up when we do the tests.
Yeah.
Anyways, Halloween and Party Expo. It is January 14th through 17th here in New Orleans. Maybe they'll have pint glasses. Who knows? They should have pint glasses.
They should, but I don't think it's that kind of conference.
Now, there are 350 vendors there, and here's the thing. It requires a business verification. Shouldn't be too difficult. You just need your business. You apply at HalloweenPartyExpo.com, and then plan your trip. And if you're coming down for it, shoot us a message and let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Nope.
Maybe we'll see if there's enough interest. Maybe we'll do a little meetup or something. Could be fun.
That could be a lot of fun, actually. Okay, and then on January 30th, HauntCon has announced its dates for those days. It's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee at the Sheraton.
Sheraton Nashville Airport.
Yes, Sheraton Nashville Airport. So you'll be actually on the planes, right? Is that what that means?
I'm guessing. It's on the tarmac.
Yeah. Okay. So tours of Haunted Hell Nashville on Thursday night, the 26th, Nashville Nightmare Saturday, the 28th, and Slaughterhouse
on
the 30th.
All right.
And HauntCon.com to get more information.
If you do not know what HauntCon, you're not aware of HauntCon.com, I can't help you.
Yes.
You're too far gone, you're a lost cause.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. We've already got your listen for this podcast, so you can hang up now. It's fine. We understand. Please don't. Mm-hmm. All right. Safety.
Yes.
Job one and so well.
Yeah, they kind of just skipped over that day at
that day. It was like every class.
Well, I was just thinking of Lugnut Day. That's all.
Yeah, the Ron Safety Day at Haunt College.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a bad day from the big, big mega haunts to the smaller home ones.
Right.
And everything I've noticed is that there seems to be no correlation between and safety.
Correct.
That's one of the things. It's like I've been to small haunts that were basically some...
Right.
And they were immaculately safe.
Yeah.
4-foot walkway, walls, beautiful proper lighting. Everything was great. And then I've been to some mega haunts, which did things that, frankly, terrified me.
Yes.
It makes me wonder how there aren't more ambulances leaving the place.
Right.
So, like I said, we're going to talk about a series of was that were complete disasters in this area.
Right.
So, ones we attended.
Okay.
And this one had an indoor and outdoor portion to it,
mm-hmm.
and footbridge.
Yes. Okay.
You know which one I'm on about now.
Yes, I do. I had to listen for the clues there.
Like I said, we're not trying to name names, and we didn't actually plan a T of safety screw-ups here.
Right, because, it just is. first, the outdoor portion was...
Needed about 100 wax with a good machete.
Yeah. Tree roots on the ground.
Yep.
Not lighted properly,
mm-hmm.
so said tree roots would land you into... When you get to a little more stable area after that first section, which is where the footbridge is that you were mentioning.
Yeah, the footbridge was a mess for two reasons. Sort of like a canal or something.
Right.
They obviously had a terrain issue here that they fit the footbridge. But thing was, you had to first get up onto the footbridge, about a 3-foot climb.
Well, it was kind of up a little hill, and then it leveled out.
Well, you had
and the steps.
That's right. The ramp was later. I'm getting this part wrong.
Yeah.
Because the ramp we're going to talk about in a minute was later. A few feet off the ground. Yet it had effectively no railing.
Yeah.
And it was very narrow, very dark, and one poor guy in our group, I mean, literally, like...
off the side.
Just splat. Now, he was okay. Like I said, it was a foot fall and onto soft grass and so forth. But yeah, that was one of the first things that happened in this song after the prickly bushes, of course.
Yes.
The whole time I'm thinking, and I'm looking at it after we help him up.
Yeah.
We and the people he's with help him up. And I'm looking at this bridge thinking, okay, A, the walking path was wheelchair compliant.
Oh, no.
No, this was less than 3 feet, definitely.
Yeah.
It was probably about two. It was closer to two. And like I said, no, but not on the side he fell off.
No.
I mean,
no, not.
I don't understand what they were thinking when they put that in.
Yeah, and there was no non-slip substance on the.
It had not been raining.
No.
Like at any time recently.
No.
But this was a Mississippi haunt, and there is dew everywhere.
Right.
Night falls, dew comes out.
Yeah.
Dew.
Yeah.
And that just compounded that up. And the problem that came later with the foot ramp.
Right.
Because
I can see why.
But a little bit later, the path took you, and
right.
They built a ramp that was far too steep.
Yeah.
The rise
oh
and run of this.
God.
I mean, you know that game on The Price is Right where the yodeler goes up the mountain?
Yeah,
that's about how it looked.
Yeah. Or, you know, running up one of the kids' slides, because I know everybody's done times.
I haven't been drinking open.
Exactly.
And then you bust your head and you look like an idiot and friends want to date you in high school.
Well, I made it. I don't know what your problem was.
You're not kidding. Now,
right.
They did try to put some non-slip surface on there.
Yes.
And we actually use similar stuff here in our house on our slippery steps, and it works
right.
Great.
Yes. Once again, outdoor ramp.
Outdo every. And the problem
it
is.
It actually made it feel slippier.
I think it might
slipperier.
Have. Slipperier. I'm wearing non-slip work boots.
Right.
I have high-end non-slip working in the haunt, and that's what I wear when I'm working.
Yeah.
And I just didn't take them off when we did the trip. I literally had every traction advantage a reasonable person would have
right.
At this haunt. And what happened when I tried to go up it? Slip, bam, right on my face.
Yeah.
I barely caught myself before just completely busting face.
Yeah,
because
there was, once again, no railing.
Nope.
No railing to hold on to.
Nope.
Or to stay standing, in your case. So yeah, I crawled.
Winning strategy. I believe her comrades in our group did the same, largely. And I mean, like, where you're not actually on your elbows, but you know what I mean? You're pawing your way up. Ridiculous. And these two things were both insane because you could tell the haunt had decided, which was obviously not the most efficient path for getting through the yard in terms of.
Of it, there was no reason for that ramp.
No.
They could have easily just let go around it.
Yeah. Or basically, yeah.
Or not had it.
Well, that was like the weird thing about it that avoids elevation changes.
Right.
On the whole. They snaked the part where we were going into the side of the building. I'm looking back thinking, wow, we just literally
hit way. Let's do this the hardest
and
way possible.
They may work for themselves,
right.
Obviously. But you have an elevation change, a height change.
Yeah.
There's a safety risk, a safety issue that you have where they're a historic building.
Right.
You have to go up and down steps. So what do? They put people on the steps, flashlighting you down to scare you.
Right.
Here, you're still in a scare environment. There's no security, no safety, constantly in danger of busting your face, it seems like. It was crazy.
Yes, it was.
So, I mean, and the whole outdoor portion was pretty darn bad.
Yeah.
But inside, things didn't get a whole lot better for us.
No, not really.
Factor one was the explosives and the noise.
Yeah, the explosive and the noise were very annoying, and they were very loud in very small places. I think that it was intentional.
It was? Oh, yeah. It was
to disorient, but all it really does is aggravate customers and possibly trigger PTSD.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that the whole, there was a segment where they lock you in a tiny room. And by tiny, I mean, okay, there's like eight of us in our group, I think it was. No, it was like six.
Yeah.
It was us, you and me, and like four people.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it was like a 5x5.
Yeah, it was a small room. We were standing shoulder to shoulder pretty tight.
Yeah.
In there. And they had us standing on the walls. An actor was in the center of the room.
Right.
And they detonated some tiny, like, firework explosive type things, like poppers type thing, but very, very loud. And it left my ears ringing.
Yeah.
Straight up left my ears ringing. And that actually had a dual impact. A, I'm sitting there thinking this can cause hearing damage.
Right.
A. But B, it's like, well, now I can't hear any of the actors jumping out at me.
Right.
All I'm hearing me going on in my ear the whole time.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
So when the actor goes roar, I'm like, what?
Yeah. And they combine that with a flash of light.
Yes.
So whenever the door opened, they wanted us to leave quickly, but nobody could see where to go.
We're blind, we're deaf, and you're telling us to hurry?
And we've already fallen twice on your trail.
Yeah.
There's no way this is happening.
Yeah, and the quick is not in the lexicon at that
point. No.
So we get out, and I remember there's a really cool-looking portion later on. I really love the way this looked.
Right.
Where you're going through, like, a fake torn-up wall.
Yeah.
They set it up so that the path actually goes through the wall. You see those fake torn up walls and haunts all the time.
Yeah. Apparently this one wasn't so fake, though.
Apparently it was not, because on the way through, I got caught on a nail.
Yeah.
And I know, and here's the thing, I know that can happen to almost anyone.
Yeah. But this wasn't some little piece of nail sticking out. This was like 3 inches of nail.
Yeah. It was way out.
Yeah.
And caught me and basically nearly cut me.
Yeah.
And I remember I didn't find out I was caught
right.
until it basically yanked me back into the room.
Yeah.
Because I was wearing like a regular button-down shirt,
mm-hmm.
but it had caught like the side of it. It was a very loose shirt on me. It caught the side, so I got like half a step away, and then it's like yanked back.
Well, yeah. And the other problem was that it was a bent almost at a 90-degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had tried to bang it back into the wood, but hadn't succeeded.
And gave up and just...
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, so it still came out, like, several... Like, an inch and a half from the wall and then back towards you, the walkway. And maybe that wasn't where we were supposed to walk. But if that's the case, then that needed to be more clearly marked.
Yeah, I think that was where we were supposed to walk. I can't think of where else we were supposed to.
There were a couple of options, but...
That was one
of the options.
We were not the only ones who chose that option in the group.
No.
If that's the case, everyone independently reached the same conclusion.
Right.
I'm pretty sure of that. But, yeah. And then came what to me was the craziest and dumbest part.
Right.
Was where you're going from a part where you're in fairly bright light.
Yes.
And they're trying to change it so they're in a room of total darkness.
Yeah.
And A, total darkness in a haunt really is rarely a good idea anyway.
Yeah.
But they... The room not only has an elevation change.
Right.
A step down. But they put a lip on the stair.
Yeah.
So basically they put a tripwire at the top of a stair.
Yeah.
Because this board that's like, that's about a good foot up.
Right.
It's not a small thing you got to step over. It's painted black.
Yes. And it's got a quarter inch lip.
As you're stepping into a black room.
Yes.
With a step down.
Yes. Nothing could go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong at all.
That seems like the best strategy ever.
Safest. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
And the thing about it that drove me absolutely crazy was that was also the room where they would say, you know, basically, get out. There's an actor in there screaming, get out.
Yeah.
But it's a totally black room.
It was a blackout maze.
Yeah, well.
It was a very short blackout maze because there were dead ends in it.
And the problem with it is they're yelling, get out, get out, get out, hurry, find your way out.
Yeah.
And this is after just 20 minutes prior.
Yeah.
They had told us if we touch any of the props or actors, we're going to jail.
Yeah.
Very sternly.
Yeah. On the way in, they did that and they had cops out front and a metal detector. And I don't know what kind of customers they normally have.
I have been to some...
But Jesus Christ.
I've been to some haunts in bad neighborhoods before. In fact, haunts tend to be in bad neighborhoods in general.
Yeah.
But I've been to some haunts in some terrible neighborhoods. This is the only haunt I've ever been wanted
before
going in.
Okay.
And they actually made me take my keys and put them back up. Because my keys at that time, I carried the Cubaton on it.
Right.
Which was a weapon in their mind.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a weapon, I guess, but I was lost, you know. I was really, really at a loss for words about this haunt. And that last safety issue, that one room, it really kind of clicked with me that these guys never really put safety in any kind of mind.
No.
They never, and this is the thing, they never looked at the haunt from their customer's standpoint.
Right. Other than, oh, this will be cool. Well, they also didn't think about the actors.
No.
Because the actor who was in that little room with the loud noise and the flashbang had to go through that multiple times a night.
I'm hoping to God he had earplugs.
Yeah, because he did have like a welder's mask or something. So hopefully, you know, the visor was tinted right and he had earplugs or earmuffs or something inside of that we couldn't see. But if he didn't, oh my God, that would be horrible.
Yeah, time after time after time. Luckily, they were not running a huge line that particular night.
Yeah, we were just talking about the reason we don't use strobe lights in our haunt is because we don't want to put our actors through that.
I mean, yeah, forget about epilepsy, forget about all that.
Well,
that's all very serious. But I think,
yeah, forget about, you know, just it's a cheesy effect, guys. It really is. I don't know why so many professional haunts use it. Because to me, it's something that it just doesn't belong.
But even if we set aside the epilepsy, even if we set aside all the risks that come with using, the risk of people tripping and falling, the risks of people getting disoriented, even if we set all that aside, I don't want to sit through it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Forget it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I
think that, you know, it could have its place in a small location, like on a prop, specifically pointed at a prop where there is not an actor who has to endure that the whole night.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, I don't see a place for it.
No, I don't either. There must be a way to use it constructively. I'm sure there is. I'm sure I don't know it.
Sorry, we went off on one of our random tangents.
Ah, tangent on this show? No, never. That never happens.
Nope.
But yeah, the point remains that haunt, I think, from an attendee standpoint, as far as the sheer variety of safety goofs, and it was so interesting because, like I said, they gave that stern warning and worried about their actor safety and worried about, you know, people hurting the actors. And all I can think, and I'm thinking at the time, well, this is annoying, but at least I know this is going to be a safe haunt.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And then I remember regretting that thought.
Yeah, you poor naive soul.
I know. I do feel naive now.
Yeah.
Now, another haunt in the region we went to a few times.
Yes.
Was another purely outdoor haunt this time.
Yes.
A trail haunt that really, I think, broke every rule about what a trail haunt should do.
Yes.
The first thing is no clearly demarked path. Let's start with the easy stuff, then we'll get to the big thing.
We did have a guide.
There was a guide. But, okay, what happens if I get separated from the guide?
Right. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to stay exactly with your group.
Well, what happens if I trip on one of the 20,000 stumps in the path?
Yes, that's part of this.
And then someone leaves me behind. I get left behind.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in the deep woods in Mississippi with no clue how to get back.
Right. So, as you can tell, yes, the path was not marked.
No.
So if you did get separated, you had no way of finding your way back.
No. And the path, to make matters worse, the path actually cut back on itself.
Multiple times.
It basically, from what I could tell, based upon the times I've been through it, the path looked a lot like an ampersand symbol.
Yeah.
As far as snaking back upon itself.
Yeah, pretty close. It was not clear cut.
No.
There was nothing down like cedar chips or mulch or anything that you walk on to make, you know, that that's where to go and to level it out.
And also level it out and make it easier to walk on. Because, I mean, that's the thing is I remember going through this haunt and spending like 80% of my time yelling, stump, tree branch, to the people behind me. Because once again, I'm going through the haunt with very good boots on.
Yes.
And I'm very confident in my ability to keep my feet underneath me. But even then, I'm still tripping on stuff, and I'm yelling back to you and the other people behind me.
Right.
What we're about to hit. Ditch.
Yes.
Remember when the ditch snuck up on us?
Oh, my gosh.
Ditch came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And
we got ditched.
Yes, we did. And to and their lighting choice was strobe lights.
Yes, in the middle of the woods.
In the middle of the woods with no clear path and with stumps and roots everywhere. Yeah.
So disorient people, give them an unlevel surface, and then
have
give
fun.
Them a guide and tell them to keep up.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Right.
And I'm amazed that no one has gotten actively hurt there.
Yes. And we'll continue why no one has gotten actively hurt there.
Why that's amazing. You want to do the honors on this one?
If you are going to have weapons in your haunt that your actors use, do not make them real.
Yes.
Period. End of story.
And the reason is, it's not only unsafe for your customers.
Right.
Because we always talk about how incidental contact happens in haunts.
Yeah.
It is nature of the beast. We are in confined space.
Yeah.
We are in darkness.
Right.
We're trying to invade your personal space.
Yeah.
I'm going to bump you, man.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen at least sometimes, man. You can't avoid it. We can say we're not going to grab you. We're not going to try and touch you.
Right.
But you're going to get bumped. And sometimes that means you're going to get bumped with the props.
Right.
You know what I mean? That fake machete is going to make contact.
Right.
Whatever. And so it's unsafe for customers, but it's also unsafe for the actors.
Right.
You have to handle these weapons in the dark, in confined spaces, and with people acting unpredictably.
Yes, and on uneven surfaces in this case.
Yes.
So, if that actor trips and falls into your customer with a real blade, then you have a problem. If that actor trips and falls on the blade himself, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
In the case of me.
Yes.
Since I am who I am, they decided it would be fun to pull my hair back and put the blade to my throat, which
is a terrible idea for two reasons.
Yes, it's a terrible idea. I did not react the way they thought I would.
Which was to not react.
Yes, I did not react because
you were in haunt mode.
I was in haunt mode. Haunts are safe. They're not going to use real weapons on me. This is like being in my home. I'm not, you know, I feel safe in my home.
Yeah, I mean, we used to sneak up on each other all the time and apply chokeholds and things to one another.
Yeah.
When we were doing the self-defense training.
Right.
And that's the other reason it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, because I have knife defense training.
We are both certified knife defense. And the result of that usually ends up with a knife in someone's abdomen in that situation.
Yeah.
So if she had reacted as her training told her she should have.
Right.
Which she's very lucky she didn't.
Yeah. I didn't freeze. Assessed the situation and figured out this person's being really dumb.
Yeah.
And trying to scare me with something that could actually hurt me.
Yeah. And
I did have a little scratch.
Mm-hmm.
I checked later. Yeah.
And it
was insane.
The thing about it is this. We told Ellie about this.
Right.
She goes to a lot of haunts with us.
Yeah.
And
she was not there this time. She was up in Illinois.
Yeah, she couldn't make this trip. She went to Illinois to be with her son. We went into Mississippi to do haunts.
Right.
Basically. And these are the first two we're talking about were in different years these things happened,
yes.
By the way. Just to be clear. But so we went to this haunt and we told Ellie about it later. And she responded saying, oh, it's a good thing I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'd have called the cops.
Yeah.
I'd have called the cops for you. I wouldn't have given you a choice.
Yeah.
And she wasn't kidding.
No.
At all.
And I'm pretty sure you would have called the cops if you had known, but I was so astounded that that would actually happen that I wasn't sure how to respond.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have called the cops if I had known at times. You told me all the way home.
Yeah, I was just really confused.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am at. I'm befuddled why anyone thinks this is a good idea, even with
right.
a known haunter.
Yeah, I mean, put it to my neck, and then when I don't respond,
pull tighter.
Pull tighter. Push it in deeper. Yeah, that's not what you do. Do not use real weapons.
Ever.
It's so easy to make a mistake.
Yes.
And to have an accident. And Just don't do it.
And they give you this weird warning on the way in at this haunt where they'll say, basically, our actors can touch you, but you can't touch them.
Right.
Which is, okay, I get it. It's strip club rules, basically.
Right.
But that also doesn't actually really work in haunts.
Yeah. And they do tell you that the weapons are real.
Yes, but they demonstrate
it by cutting through about an inch and a half tree branch.
But, you know, they kind of do stuff like that at a lot of haunts.
Yeah.
And usually it's bull honking.
Well, yeah, they show you the real one and then they switch out for the fake one.
Which is we're going to talk about the first haunt we were at, which had its own danger issues.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things they did.
Yes, this is a good segue into that. I think we're done with this one. We've covered everything.
Well, let's go to the first haunt we worked at.
Okay.
Which I do not think exists anymore, by the way. So
no.
Now we're getting out of haunts that I believe are still open.
Right.
This haunt, the long and short of it is, one of the rooms, they had a cannibal room. In which, everyone's seen this gag before.
It's right.
Where you've got the the platter in the middle of the table, and you raise the platter up, and there's some, usually it's a kid, because kids can get in those spaces easier, and he's sticking his head through, it's, hi, I'm dead.
Hi, I'm going to be dinner.
And it's cute, it's fun. And what they did in this room is the cannibal guy, who, by the way, was certified, actually, literally, certified insane.
And proud of it.
And very proud of this fact. He
brought the papers.
we did not inquire about this information. He presented it to us.
Yes.
Basically
a warning to stay away from him,
I
think.
Yeah, long story short, yes. And the idea of the room was you would hold the real, what's that, the cleaver.
Yeah.
A cleaver. I'm like, what the hell is it called? The giant blocky knife thing.
Butcher knife.
It's a cleaver. It was a cleaver there. And then, show the glint, and then, slice into a nearby ham or something like that.
Right.
To prove it was real. But then he would pull out the fake one.
Right.
And then when he pulled up the lid a second time, the little kid theoretically would be underneath the table, sticking a fake head through this time.
Right.
And so the idea was the cannibal would pull up the platter, and just very quickly, before anyone could see what was underneath it, slice.
Yeah.
With the fake knife and knock the head off, and screams were had and terrifying.
Right.
And realistically, it wasn't a very good gag. What it was absolutely bonkers dangerous.
Yes.
And I say this because one time, the kid forgot to swap the head.
Yeah. He just forgot. He got distracted looking at the inside of the platter.
I don't know how the hell he forgot that. Kid forgot to swap the head. And inches away from getting, he would have been hit with a fake knife at least.
Yes.
But still gotten a good clobbering.
Right.
Right in the side of the neck. So he's very lucky he didn't get hurt on that.
Yeah. I think that was the only really unsafe thing at that.
Oh, no. There was the ghoul room I worked in. Had issues.
Oh, okay.
Because in that room, they encourage the ghouls. It was a very, very basic room. You get in there, it was well decorated, it's well lit. Then the lights come out, and the ghouls, which were the actors, would slip in through hidden doors and then surround the group.
Okay.
It's a very simple room, and not particularly effective. But someone along the way came up with the idea that we should bring our own weapons.
Oh.
And going back to the real weapon thing, we weren't holding it anyone's neck, but everyone in that room was armed with actual stabby things.
Oh, that's not good.
And
I don't remember that the time that we went through it as customers.
And I was always careful, because I am who I am, to always show the weapon in a way that didn't present any danger.
Right.
Like, I had a sword that was sheathed. So I would take the sword out about a third of the way. You could see the glint. You could see that it was real, but no one's getting hurt like this.
Right.
The other guys are, ripping them out and going Civil War general on them.
Yeah, I do remember there being weapons at this haunt also, because I was sitting there looking at them and asking them where they bought them, because I collect some knives, maybe.
We might have a modest...
Yeah.
Sword and knife collection in this house.
Maybe.
Maybe. Just kind of.
Maybe on the walls.
On the walls.
A little bit.
Only two rooms.
But, yeah. Yeah,
actually,
so
we've
carried
it down a lot over the years.
We have. I was looking at them. So I knew that they were in-house, but I didn't know that they were actually being used to threaten
the ghoul room.
Customers.
Yeah, they were, and that was bad. What was the thing you were thinking about?
I don't have anything.
Sorry, you said you thought you'd remembered something else that was unsafe with that haunt?
No, I think that was the only thing that I remember unsafe
The real problem with that haunt in general...
Unless you want to count putting, kids into plastic bags. So...
I don't think that one was too bad, though. Those were fake body bags.
They could
breathe.
Still.
And they were only in there for the briefest time anyway.
I know.
I mean, so I don't think that was a problem, really.
Yeah.
Now, they did do the thing where they would chase people out into the parking lot with the chainsaw.
Right.
Which, that haunt had a really funny thing about it, because there was a chainsaw guy in the first room.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it was an indoor haunt. And so the first room was way deep inside the building. They couldn't do it for the fumes.
Right.
They couldn't have a really good gas-powered chainsaw. So they gave him a tiny little electric one.
Yeah.
The sound just ain't there, man.
No.
It comes out... Yeah, it didn't work. But anyways, but they had the chainsaw guy. But the problem was the parking lot was crap.
Yeah.
It was uneven. Now, here's the thing. We talked about that lawsuit recently where a lady got chased into the parking lot by the chainsaw guy, tripped, fell over her ankle, tried to sue, and lost. So, legally, fine, but still no reason to put customers in danger either. I mean...
Right. Basically, they did have a chainsaw guy with a gas-powered one.
Oh, that one sounded like a damn Harley Davidson every time it kicked off. That one was a beast.
Yes.
And I think that was kind of the punchline to the joke, was they had one that sounded like a V8 engine turning over outside.
Right. And he would... I think they picked out which cars people got out of and pointed out which ones. Maybe based on how they reacted during the haunt, because he would go by their car.
Yeah.
He
was very good at his job, by the way.
Yeah, but and scare the crap out of
him. The problem isn't him. He wasn't necessarily being unsafe.
No.
It was that the parking lot was very uneven, very ridge.
Right.
And it was easy to trip in.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much that haunt, how much control that haunt had over that, because it was a rented space.
Yeah, it was.
So rented space, is something to think about.
Yes. Okay, now moving on to another haunt that's closed, the Slidell one.
Yes.
This one existed a while back. It did for... I don't know how they got fire code compliance.
I think that because of its location, fire code was lax.
Yeah,
especially at that time, because this was 2010, because I looked it up.
Yeah, this haunt has not been open for some time.
Yes.
So, but the first thing we noticed that really kind of clued us in that maybe safety wasn't a primary concern was we're going down these hallways, and the hallways start out a fine width, 3 feet, nice and wide, nice and good, but they would be putting stuff in the floor to force you to turn sideways. Like your clearance goes from 3 feet to 2 feet.
Yeah.
Or 1 foot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're barely squeezing through.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how is this code compliant? Yeah, whatever. We'll let it go. But then they got into one room, and there's doors everywhere, all of them marked exit.
Right. Yep.
Which, A, don't mark a non-exit door exit.
Yeah.
That should be obvious. I should not have to say that.
Right.
But obviously, I do.
Yeah.
And so you say, well, and then there's an actor in the room, and he's playing like a crazy redneck type, if I remember correctly. Like, don't know which way to go? Go this way. And he opens up a door, and you go through it. And you go through a short hallway that loops back around and brings you back to the same room through one of the other doors.
Right. Yeah, that actually reminds me of a story I heard at HauntCon of a volunteer firehouse, who had a similar setup.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fire marshal went through, the fire chief could not tell him which room was the actual exit.
So, yeah, the fire marshal looked, so which way do we go?
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually do not know. So, yeah, don't be like that.
Yeah, they were shut down. Not only because of that, but because of a ton of other safety issues.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my gosh.
From the way it was described, I think that haunt could best any of the haunts we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And safety violations.
Well, I don't know, because I think this one comes really close to it, because it had a lot of the same issues. And it was in a fireworks warehouse. So it's also got the combustible inside the haunt possible.
At least theoretically possible, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if they actually had fireworks in the building at the same time the haunt was open.
Right, but I wouldn't put it past them.
No. And so they did that, and they did that a type of thing a couple of times, where you get into rooms and not realize where you were going, and then you'd be stuck in either dead ends or false pathways.
Right.
That was actually a recurring theme in the haunt. But the part that was, and this is the only time I've ever been injured as an attendee in a haunt.
Yeah.
They did this weird, it was, I guess, an attempt at like a claustrophobia tunnel. But it was meant to make you crouch and then eventually get on your hands and knees.
Right.
And crawl. And all right, I don't like haunts that make you crawl. I kind of have a weird thing with that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of annoying. I crawl. That's kind of one of the things is like, we spend so much time crawling, building our haunt.
Yeah.
It's like crawling in a haunt for fun just seems unfun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, we were warned before we went in. That there were some places where we would have to duck really, really low.
Yeah, but it was so low we were crawling. It was as grown-ass adults, we had no choice.
Right.
But anyways, because I'm not a limbo champion at the end of the day, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, but I'm not a limbo champion. Yeah. To imagination. I'm not that flexible. Anyway, I'm on my hands and knees, walking, crawling through this tunnel, and a child actor...
Mm-hmm.
Whose apparent scared role was to run down the hall screaming like a banshee.
Yeah.
Does that, but is completely unaware that I'm in the tunnel, apparently.
Yeah.
And she collides with me head on. Forehead to forehead contact.
Yeah.
Crystal was right behind me.
Yeah, but because of the way it was built and there was stuff hanging in the tunnel, I didn't actually see what happened.
But you heard it, though.
I heard it.
Yeah, she hit me. I went down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was actually unconscious because I remember seeing her tumble and then immediately trying to see if she was okay. And then she got up and ran off, and I, got up to try to go after her, and then immediately fell down again.
Yeah.
I was so disoriented. I was nauseous. I'm about 100% sure I had a concussion, at least a very mild one from that
hit. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she did, too, frankly.
Yeah.
But little kids, I mean, maybe they just bounce or something.
Yeah, she was not there at the end. No. Maybe they took her to the hospital.
Maybe. So. I mean, she took a... I mean...
A wallop.
Flaw of physics, she took the same hit I did.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and if it was enough to put me down,
yeah,
I'm surprised she got up and sprinted off from it. But I was literally seeing stars and nauseated through the rest of the haunt.
Yeah.
And people are coming up and scaring me, and I'm trying not to throw up on them.
Yeah. And putting us into rooms that have false exits when all we want to do by that point is get out.
Yeah, we need to get out.
And it's not because we're scared or that the haunt's too intense. It's... that he's got a medical emergency.
And here's the part about that really aggravated me, and I've actually really talked about this. The little girl was hurt. I understand that. They were probably taking care of her. But no one at the haunt ever asked about me.
Right. Yeah.
Even when we were done afterward and talking with the crew and talking with people, no one asked if I was okay.
Yeah.
Not a single query, not a single concern, nothing. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that little girl did not just get up and run off and resume acting.
Yeah.
I don't see how she could have.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, unless she's made of rubber,
yeah,
it's not happening that way. So, there was no concern for the customer safety at all, even after a potential injury had happened.
Right.
And we've had potential injuries in our haunt.
Oh, yeah.
We had that guy break a 2x4 with his shoulder.
Yeah.
Which was, A, and very impressive, and, B, it was because he was doing something... very, very stupid.
Yes.
As a haunt customer. A, he was running. And B, he decided running through a wall was better than following the obviously marked path.
Yeah. Following the arrows and the fluorescent paint and
path.
Yes.
I still don't understand the mindset of trying to the jump through a wall.
Yeah.
But
I will tell you, though, that we learned something that year.
Yes.
And that is not to put a very tight turn.
Yeah.
In your haunt, because some people are going to be so scared that they're not going to turn. They're just going to run straight.
Yeah. And that's what happened there. But regardless, when that happened, everything shut down.
Yep.
We got him. We dusted him off. We made sure he was okay. We talked to him. We checked him out. And then when we were 100% convinced he was fine, then we let him leave.
Yeah.
You know, that's a better picture of how you do it, I think. And that's, I think, the only real scare we've had in 10 years.
Yeah.
11 years now. I think it's the only real scare we've had.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the point of the matter is that there was no concern of this haunt for safety. And I'm pretty sure that the reason they didn't open was the fire marshal probably did put him under.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain of that.
I hope so. I really do hope so, because it was dangerous for everybody.
If anything more serious than what had happened to me had happened in that haunt, there would have been no feasible way of getting people out.
No.
Or getting help to them.
Right.
And, you know, I guess for the final one, I want to chat about a haunt we worked in. And this is not really knocking the haunt safety record. For his customers, it's always been a very good safety record. I don't think these guys have even had a scare.
Yeah.
So technically, they're better than us in that regard. But the thing about the haunt is they really do take their customer safety very seriously, but they sometimes forget about the actors.
Right. And once again, they may have gotten better about this because it has been several years since we worked there.
Yeah, and I do believe they probably have. I think we illustrated the problem quite neatly, or you did, rather.
Right. Yeah, but basically in the actor runs, they were not very conscious of making sure that there were no nails that the actors could hit.
Yeah, and that was, like, the problem was they had, as is typical, thin walls in the haunt.
Yeah.
And they were just nailing stuff up to it, and the nails are going straight through the other side because they're using regular nails.
Right.
Going straight through, and then they have these actor runs and actor areas on the other side.
Right.
Like, one time you were in, like, a cage area.
Yeah.
And there were nails poking into the area that came from the room next door.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's that. There were, the actor runs themselves had a lot of stuff stored.
Yeah.
So it made it very hard to get around during the dark. And you would have to put your hands on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
You would just have to do it carefully so you didn't get stuck by a nail.
Yeah.
Now, we, have had one incidence of a nail.
Mm-hmm.
They caught an actor. And, but that's one nail.
Yeah. This was dozens and dozens of nails.
Yes, this was pretty much everybody got hit by a nail at some point.
One of the things that we do that I think some haunts don't do, I think most do, but not all, is we do a touch check of the entire actor areas and the customer areas of the haunt.
Yeah.
And that's where we just take our hands and forearms and
touch it.
Touch every square inch we can, bare skin, and anything we feel that pricks us or potentially cuts us, we're doing it slow. So we're not going to get cut as we do it, but we'll feel it. And then when that happens, we can go, that's the nail. We need to Dremel it off. We need to beat it down.
Right, because even if it's just a little bitty point sticking through, it can hurt.
It can hurt. And you know, I don't even want someone coming working in my haunt to need a tetanus shot.
Right.
I don't.
Typically, if you work in a haunt, you should be up on those.
Well, yeah, you should, but I'm just saying.
But just in case, because you never know.
You never know who's up to date on their tetanus and who's not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we do that every time. And I guess that's one of the reasons we kind of take the lack of nails for granted when we work at other haunts.
Right.
It's because we kind of assume everyone does that. And at least some haunts don't.
Yeah.
And that's
unfortunate. Yeah. We've even gone as far as to put bubble wrap on corners that are customer facing because we thought that if somebody runs into this, it might be too hard of a corner.
Yeah.
So put bubble wrap on it and put bubble wrap
and then cloth to hide it and then make it look pretty. It's not just like bubble wrap sticking out in the haunt.
No. I am a master of disguise in that haunt.
You know, like every other haunt in the world, we've also made a lot of heavy use of pipe insulation for that purpose.
Yeah.
The foam pipe insulation.
Right. On railways and stuff that and halfway walls.
Yeah. We really do obsess over no hard edges anywhere in the haunt. We're not quite as safe as like a McDonald's play area.
Yeah.
But we try to sort of emulate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so these were just like, these are our, some of our biggest horror stories. We've had other incidents that made us a little bit worried about our time in Haunt. And it was really funny because we talked about the path one, by the way. I forgot to mention this when we were talking about that trail one, the uneven right. trail. It, when we went to Waterloo in Illinois.
Yeah.
I remember walking on the trail going, oh.
Yeah.
This is what a trail haunt's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
I hadn't been on one in so long.
Right. And I had never been on one that took so much care to make sure that you were in a safe area and that you could relax and enjoy the scares.
Yes. And that was, it was beautiful. And we had an amazing time at that haunt.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that, I mean, I guess the thing about the theme of these haunts is either through not caring or oversight or ignorance, whatever, they were not thinking about their customer or actor safety.
Right.
Sometimes it's a simple oversight that's easy to make. Don't be the one that makes those easy oversights.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just raw, pure, unbridled negligence.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, oh, this will be cool.
Without thinking, even for a microsecond, about how it can hurt someone.
Yeah.
You know, one of my rules is the, and this is one of the things we learned that year. That was early on when the guy broke the 2x4. We sort of changed our perspective on safety following that.
Right.
Because we realized we've got to prepare for people hitting these things head on with the whole of their weight.
Yeah.
It's got to be able to survive that impact without buckling and doing damage to the haunt.
Yeah.
Without doing damage to them, either breaking their bones or cutting them or anything.
Yeah.
And it's got to do it in such a way that it does not cause any kind of slowdown or impedance to the throughput of the haunt.
Right.
It's got to be something where we can, they pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and keep moving.
Yeah.
And that's tough. And we have killed a lot of really fun ideas.
Yeah.
Out of safety. Some of the coolest looking things we've done, we took apart.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't safe.
Yeah.
And this is, every year we have at least one project that ends up being scrapped because of safety. We realize that we can't make it up to that standard, so we get rid of it.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have enough ideas that do make it up to that standard.
Well,
we put on a pretty good haunt, I think.
Well, and we've gotten a lot better about how to come up with safer ideas to begin with.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we have one every year that we have to scrap, but it took us a long time to get to that point.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's been at least a handful of times we've been in a situation where we're looking at a room and we're realizing we can't make this safe.
Yeah.
This is not safe to our standard. It might be safe to someone else's standard, but to our standard, it's not.
Right.
Now, one of the key things we've learned is how to make things look unsafe while making them actually very, very safe. Like with our breakaway walls having jagged pieces of wood on them that don't get within 3 feet of the customer, but it sure looks like it does.
Yeah.
That little 3D element of it.
Yes.
It's like being in the theater with the 3D glasses and seeing the whatever it is coming towards you.
Yeah, we only did that one year. And I think if we were to do it again, the wood pieces would be out of foam.
Probably. But we were still very careful to make sure that the customers never got within 3 feet of it.
Oh, yeah, because it was behind barriers.
Yeah. Unless they literally went gallivanting over barriers, they could not get to it.
Yeah.
There was no way.
Yep.
And so, yeah, just, I don't know. It seems to be a thing with these haunts. They just ignored safety. And even when presented with the problems, reacted poorly to having the issues raised.
Yeah.
That's one of the other consistent things I've seen. And maybe something for another episode if we're running out of time. But it's just like when we've talked about these issues with these haunts, either via reviews or emails or just talking with them afterward.
Right.
They all reacted the same way, except for the one that was just fixing the actor area. They very quickly got on those nails.
Yeah.
Which is a thing I respect.
Yeah.
Those guys were A+ on it.
Right.
But other haunts, they chuffed at us.
Yeah.
It's like, no one can get hurt here.
It's like, what do you know?
What do you know?
It's like, come on. I know that we have dual or now triple. Yes.
We're all the roles.
Yes, we have triple, roles in the haunt industry right now, mm-hmm. but that's just it. We look at things from different perspectives. We have,
yeah,
and I think that gives us a valuable point of view.
I think that is what makes our point of view. If there is value in our point of view,
yeah, take it or leave it, as you may.
I think the value comes from this. We are haunt operators enough
yeah.
to know what goes into running a haunt. We are very heavy haunt attendees.
Right.
And we are very, very, very heavy haunt thinkers.
Yeah. As by this podcast.
Yeah. So it's like we wear all these hats, and maybe it's a jack of all trades, master of none situation for us.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give us a non-bubbled perspective at the very least.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it. I think we're about out of time. You got anything else you want to add?
No, that's it.
That was fun. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you very much for wasting nearly a perfectly good hour. I'm ripping off car talk. I know it.
Yeah, we do that occasionally.
We appreciate you spending your time with us. Please take a moment. Follow us on Twitter at username Haunt Weekly. Follow us on Facebook at Haunt Weekly as well, facebook.com/Haunt Weekly. You can find this podcast wherever finer podcasts are sold. That would primarily be iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Once again, Google, thank you for adding podcast only about 10 years too late. Good job. But on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 36, our biggest haunt nightmares. We'll see you guys next week. I'm not doing a joke this time.
Not at all.
Not at all. I mean it. No joke.
Okay.
Sorry. Fart jokes are funny.